on today's Compassion Radio.
I had an individual from my church who was a World War II veteran, and he gave me two Bibles, some pantyhose, and some chocolate, thinking that those were the things that I would need to trade or to modicums of trade while I was there.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello, and welcome on in to Compassion Radio. Psalm 144, verse 7 reads, "Reach down from heaven and rescue me. Rescue me from deep waters, from the power of my enemies." When you hear the phrase search and rescue, what image does that conjure up in your mind's eye? On today's program, we're going to meet someone who has a very unique grasp on that verse from Psalm 144 and brings a wealth of experience to the whole concept of search and rescue. Here's Bram Floria to introduce a new friend who knows a thing or two about service and honor.
On Compassion Radio today, we have a new friend, Jeff Crandall. Now, Jeff is not just an ordinary guy off the street. He has a distinctive resume, and it's going to resonate with our people this month. Jeff Crandall is a Chief Warrant Officer 5 with the California National Guard. He's been with the U.S. Army for 34 years, and he flies some big birds out there, specifically helicopters. And we're going to learn more about his service. But more than that, we're going to learn about how God brought him into service of heaven itself through his faith and his testimony. And we're going to learn more about his life today on Compassion Radio. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about yourself, friend. How did your interest in the military first grab you, and how did you get in?
Well, back in high school, actually before high school, I always wanted to be a pilot, and I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy and be a fighter pilot was my goal and what I saw myself doing. But through circumstances and events, I came to a program called the High School to Flight School program. So right out of high school, I joined the Army and went directly to the United States Army Warrant Officer Flight School training at Fort Rucker, Alabama. And 19 years old, standing in formation, going to flight school was a pretty culture shock, if nothing else, and looked pretty young. And I remember getting asked if I had a note from my mother, and I just was concerned because I couldn't come up with one. But I've been flying ever since.
When you start as a young man like that, and probably not much hair in the upper lip yet, so there's not much machoism yet, you are being indoctrinated into a macho culture. And, of course, you know, being a top-flight kind of pilot and someone who's going to be engaged in warfare and offense and bringing the arrows of our nation close to the battlegrounds around the world, it's got to be a heady experience. So your ego is being inflated quite a bit. Where did God bring you down to earth during that process?
Wow, I didn't know you'd talk to my wife first. yeah, I was 20 years old flying attack helicopters in the 1st Cav Division, Fort Hood, Texas. We always consider ourselves, you know, the tip of the spear. And shortly after, you know, the movie Top Gun came out, we thought we were all Maverick and Goose out, you know, saving the world. And and actually for me, it really took a couple close calls with accidents that toned down my machismo quite a bit and brought me to a point of realizing that this profession that I chose leaves people as, you know, there's old pilots and there's bold pilots, but there's not old, bold pilots. So I made the choice that I wanted to be an old pilot at some point, which now I am, and tried to tone down the boldness quite a bit.
Well, we're about the same age, so I won't say you're old yet. So,
okay.
but I'm proud of you for discovering that. I've heard it said over the years that, you know, it is the glory of a young man to die for a noble cause, and it's the glory of an old man to live for one. And the longest cause you could possibly live for is eternity. And so somewhere along the way, the Christianity that you were introduced to when you were a child took root in a very dangerous situation you found yourself in. So tell me about the intersection of faith and duty.
Intersection of faith and duty. The point where that came was probably in, I'd say, in Afghanistan in 2003, most precisely. And I was in a small forward operating base close to the Pakistan border. And there was a Taliban incursion. You know, they were going to try to take over the base one night, and RPGs and mortars were being fired in, artillery shells, and, you know, our returning fire was going out. Lasted for quite a while, and that was one of those times where, you know, you kind of have that conversation with God where you're, hey, I'm in the sinking ship, Lord. You know, you get me out of this, and we're all going to be okay. you start making bargains, and all of a sudden decided that, you know, life isn't about just being a good person. Life isn't about just being a good pilot or a good professional. Life is about sharing what we believe, sharing Christ, and the gospel is just a part of that. And it really kind of came out to me at that time that I remember hiding in the corner, you know, with sandbags around me going, because we didn't have any bunkers or anything like that at the time, and just remember sitting there thinking, I've got to do something more than just live, if that makes sense.
So a transformative moment.
A very transformative moment.
This is about a faith that was already alive in you, a seed deeply planted.
Yes, very, very much. But I always, to that point, it was always my faith. It was always my personal, if someone asked me, I'm very open about it, held up my end of the bargain, I guess you'd say, and represented. But that was the point where it was kind of like, well, I need to be vocal about this. I need to be more demonstrative. I need to share. And that's where that really came about.
So, Jeff, before we started recording this program, you mentioned a good friend that intersects with this story of your faith coming alive. Tell me about him.
His name's Chris Troutwine. He's another Chief Warrant Officer 5. We served together for many years and then really got to work with him closely. And literally, we were in the same office for over a year, desk side by side, while we were in Taji, Iraq. And was able to share my faith and he his, just a great time of growing with a good brother. But we had an example of one time where rockets, we have a C-Rams, there were these big horns that would go off and tell us of an impending rocket attack. And the C-Rams went off and sure enough, you know, moments later, bang, bang, you know, these big explosions all around us. And we're getting yelled at to get down, you know, get on the ground. And I just remember just about before I get on the ground, something kind of clicks and says, this isn't your day. And I stood up, and Chris looked over at me and looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, no Muslim's going to determine the day I die. I said, my hands are in the hands of the Lord. And he stood up. And it was amazing. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We had like 14 of these big 110 rockets. I can't remember what the correct nomenclature of them is, but they're big. And we thought for sure that, you know, somebody had died outside because of all the numbers that went right around us. And shortly after the explosion, we went running out and wasn't one person even injured.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, a miracle.
So what do you think was conquered in that moment when that, as you say, that something clicked in you?
At that moment, I believe it was just a reaffirmation that I'm in God's hands. I'm not in anybody else's. You know, it's not fate. It's not karma. It's not anything other than just what God's plans were for me. And I'm confident that he's got plans for me to be a little more long-term than that.
That's an important revelation to have for you personally. But it also kind of challenges the stories of others who didn't survive or who were injured. So how would you express your story and your faith as a living faith to those who haven't had quite such a miraculous immediacy to the answers to their prayers? Now, you came out of it unscathed, and so did your whole unit that day. Others do not. So how do you express a living faith to those who suffer?
Wow, that is a tough question, but all I can do is give them the assurity of what the Word says, that there is salvation for those who have accepted it, that there is a plan that God has, and it's ordained, and that we're all going to be in God's will to do that. I really haven't been confronted with that yet. I'm not going to say, because I love helping vets. I love talking to veterans and working with them. So I don't know how I'd really confront that other than say that God has a plan. And I it's above my ways. It's above our ways. So,
Jeff, that's a fair and honest answer, and I appreciate that. We're not looking for platitudes here. We're looking for real experience. And there'll be a lot of things you have not faced yet that you're going to face as your experience and as your testimony continues to make inroads and is used by the Lord to touch lives. We know there's going to be much more of that in the years to come. And I want to thank you for your honesty and your humility in approaching the kind of opportunities that God gives you. And I want to talk more about the work you've been doing with vets and how your testimony is being used now to touch lives. And we're going to do more of that in the second part of this program today. And so we're going to break for just a minute. And when we come back, we'll talk with Jeff Crandall, a veteran of Bosnia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait. The man's been everywhere that this U.S. Army has been in the past few years. And we're glad to have him. We're honored to have him as a guest on Compassion Radio. We'll be right back.
Friends like you make this ministry possible, and your sacrificial gifts mean the world to us. Just wanted to pop in here and let you know that we've got a very special announcement to make at the end of today's broadcast in regards to the incredible legacy of our longtime president, Dr. Norm Nelson, and how you can get involved in what we're calling our Legacy of Learning Library Project. It's all about Norm's incredible library that he left behind and what we as a ministry want to do with it today to bless others. So listen towards the end of the broadcast. In the meantime, you can find us online at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. And we always look forward to hearing from you by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And online, you can find us at CompassionRadio.com. Now, back to the program.
We're back with Jeff Crandall, Chief Warrant Officer 5 of the California National Guard, and someone who pretty much embodies everything you'd expect from the U.S. military. He's been everywhere that we've been in the past 20 or 30 years. And you've flown those attack helicopters. You've been the point of the spear, as you mentioned. Now, we left off talking about your work and how much you love to work with the veterans. So how do you and Jesus enter into those rooms and touch lives? What's been happening there?
Well, actually, I'm just our church in the Sacramento area is just starting a veterans ministry. We have found that this is a great need, a great calling. Veterans who have those questions of how come I came back and my buddy didn't? How come all this pain and suffering is happening in this world? And just a lot of questions between faith and service. And we're just trying to be there so that we can allow them the opportunity to voice their concerns, be heard, and hopefully, you know, steer them to the Word and steer them to the love of people in the church that can just hug on them and make it, if nothing else, for that day okay, and then directing them to the Word to make it so that it's okay long-term and okay for eternity.
And we do know that the Word is like a surgical tool as much as it is a weapon. And it is meant to excise out the cancers in our souls. And so you're learning how to move from being a warrior to a doctor. And with the Word of God as your tool, as the real power, you've been touching lives. Is there an example or a specific story during the time of counseling and ministering to vets that you can tell us about, a particular person that responded to the truth in a way that amazed you?
There's the story I was telling you when I first went to Bosnia. I had an individual from my church who was a World War II veteran, and he gave me two Bibles, some pantyhose, and some chocolate, thinking that those were the things that I would need to trade or to modicums of trade while I was there.
What an offering of love that is from someone who really knows.
But I did find the opportunity to give those Bibles away. And I gave them to a single mother, and she's also a soldier. And at the time, it was, thank you, I appreciate it, that's very nice, but didn't mean that much to her. But as she lived her life and continued to grow, that Bible became more and more of a influence in her life, and pretty soon started going to church, then gave her life to the Lord. And today has just been an exciting example of what God can do to change a life and make it just an exciting example of saving somebody.
Jeff, we've talked a number of times on the program in the years past about how far the Word of God reaches and impacts lives. For example, in China, we know that we get back stories to show that every single Bible that's given wins around 5 souls to Jesus because there's such a sharing and such a transformation that happens in families. And the story you're telling me about changing a life, this is not just one life. You said she was a single mother. And guess is that your life changed a bit by realizing the power of the Word of God to change hers. And then, of course, there's a family that's flowing from her. So you've got a new spiritual daughter. You've got a new spiritual grandson or granddaughter as a result of that. So your spiritual family is increasing as you go along. So I know that this has gone much farther than just one person.
Oh, yeah. very exciting.
So what's happening with her today?
She's living life and serving the Lord and very active in her church. She ministers to other ladies, other single moms. And
very good.
So she's making an effect downstream from there also.
Amen to that. Jeff, one of the important roles you have in helicopter warfare is not just about firing things at people or at bases. You actually go out there and do search and rescue and find the people and get them out of dangerous situations. I know that can be a very stressful situation as much as combat is. Now, you were telling me earlier about one of those adventures where you were going after somebody. What happened on that particular search and rescue?
This is a part of the big mission of the California Army National Guard is search and rescue operations within the state. And we were called out. I was actually quite disappointed. I was going to be going to a 4th of July celebration. Okay, well, somebody's lost out in the woods, and we need to go find them.
Mm.
It was a individual who had Parkinson's disease, and he had been hiking and got disoriented and lost. And once his medication wore off, he could no longer walk. So search teams were out all over the Sierra Nevada mountains in central California. And when we arrived, we were given search locations, and we looked and looked and looked, and we had heard from the dispatchers that there had been somebody had heard a very loud yell echoing around the mountains, couldn't really pinpoint it. So we had come up to a point of the day was closing down and thought that it might be the last search for the day, and I was just drawn to a point. I mean, literally just like, nope, right there on that hill, right above that rock slide, let's go there.
What was drawing you to that point?
Just Spirit of the Lord, just going, hey, this is where you need to look. And I was reminded by my crew chief that we'd already flown over that area. And I said, well, let's go right there. And I literally flew right to the individual, and he was right below us. When we got him on the aircraft, we found out that his scream, the scream that was heard, was he had decided that since he had been lost for going on 3 days, that he was going to die and he was going to take his own life just so he didn't waste away. And he tried to cut his femoral artery through his leg. And by grace of God, he had missed, but he had passed out. And I think that was part of the reason all the searches were going by him, because being passed out, he couldn't respond to any calls or yells, and he was just in a little teeny hole underneath a tree. And I saw him by his baseball hat and just flew right to him. We hoisted him out and were able to get him to a hospital where he fully recovered, and didn't get to share with him much, but I just got to tell him, of all the rescues I've ever done, you don't get to talk to the rescued person very often because you just drop them and you go. But this was one indication where we got to shut down, and I got to look at him and just go, it's by the grace of God that you got saved today. Just wanted you to know that. Mm. And he said, thank you very much. Don't know any more about him than that. But he was very thankful.
I can't deny the supernatural power of that story, friend. That's amazing. And now, in your case, my guess is you prayed before you even got in the helicopter that day.
Oh, yeah. We had refueled at Mammoth Airport, and I just was going across the ramp going, Lord, I would really like to find this guy. Yeah. Just prior to the 4th of July, and I really thought that it would be cool if we could find him and get him back to his family, and sure enough, we did.
That, to me, is the power of the story, that the simplicity of pleading with God for something important, the life or the soul of another. So from behind the walls of sandbags or in foxholes or in cockpits throughout the past 30 years, you've sought the Lord. You found him in places, but he found you, too.
I would probably say he found me. Or I turned around and found him.
And I'm glad that he's definitely in the search and rescue business.
Yes.
So what are you doing now? Where's your ministry going forward from this point after all these years? Tell me about your family and your future hopes for ministry.
Well, I work in my church with veterans. My wife works with the women's ministries. We're very happy to just continue to do more and more. And I just see my life transitioning someday from being in the full-time in the Army National Guard to being, you know, full-time in spiritual service and working at our church or a church or maybe just at other organizations that I can bring a little bit of light to sometimes very dark and very civilian-type environments.
So even civilian situations can be dark.
Yes.
If we actually admit and acknowledge that there is spiritual warfare going on around us, not just questions, not just doubts. We're talking about real battles for lives and souls. And we treat it with a little more seriousness. And you understand the seriousness of life and death situations, and you've done a marvelous job, I think, so far, respecting the reality of danger and appealing to the powers that can actually help you in those situations. So, folks, if you are praying for people out there to come to know the Lord in the military, pray for people like Jeff. There have got to be hundreds of thousands of people like him out there that have responded to the truth at one time or another and want to do the right thing. They want to live for the Lord, and they're being asked to do extraordinarily dangerous and difficult things on our behalf. Jeff, as a chief warrant officer, I know you prayed for your men before. Would you mind, as we close here, praying a short prayer for those who are coming back, the people that need people to love on them?
Sure. Dear Father, we pray right now that you would just speak your word, especially to our returning veterans. Let them know that you're there for them, and let people's hearts be quickened to go out and do something. Go out and meet the veterans. Go out and say, hey, you mean something, and bring them into the local church. Don't just turn them to society to, you know, be taken care of, but reach out. They're a group of hurting people. They're a group of people who need you that much more. And I just pray right now that you will make those ministries continue to grow and continue to pop up and continue to blossom in the church for decades to come. Beloved Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jeff Crandall, not just a Chief Warrant Officer 5 with the California National Guard, but a veteran of Bosnia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait, and, more importantly, husband to Michelle, with 2 daughters and 3 grandkids. You have a large legacy already, friend, and we're proud that you are there to lead them and give them spiritual cover. So God bless you, friend, and thank you for your love and support of the veterans out there in the world today.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Our thanks to special guest Jeff Crandall on today's Compassion Radio, and we look forward to many more stories from him on future broadcasts. Now, if you'd like to hear this or any of our other programs on demand when it's convenient for you, simply point your browser to CompassionRadio.com. Just go there and click Radio at the top of the page. Now, before we leave you today, I want to give you the opportunity to honor Norm Nelson with this month's Legacy of Learning Library Project. Here's how it works. The best of Norm's theological library will be donated as a living legacy. Just think of it. Words that have moved Norm and shaped this ministry and thousands of partners over the years will now shape the ministry of future generations of pastors. Could there be a better legacy to leave behind? This spring, archivists from 2 of the best theological bookstores in Southern California are helping us inventory the titles and prepare them for international shipment. We'll coordinate with these foreign seminaries to select the titles their students need most and begin sending them this tremendous inheritance. It'll be a multi-year process, but we're committed to getting as many of these titles as possible onto foreign seminary shelves this year. So this month, we're asking you to help us send the next generation of pastors and evangelists in the world's toughest places exactly what they need: quality commentaries and study materials. It will begin with Norm's personal collection. Each book will include a dedication placard commemorating Norm, his life, and your gift as a Compassion Radio partner.
He wanted his library to be divided up and to go to overseas libraries in seminaries and Christian colleges where books are just, you know, like gold. Yeah. The resources that they have are so limited, and he wanted so much to get good information, good teaching materials into the hands of young pastors all over the world. And of course, as we traveled, we ran into them all over the place. So we're hoping that we can really bless the church universal with his library.
Your gift of any size this month is needed and important. Please give as generously as you can to keep this ministry on the air as your radio voice for global mission. For your gift of $25 or more this month, we'd love to send you a thank you gift. Now, we're having to do something we've never done before, and that is to say, we're not exactly sure what that gift will be.
We are working on several different projects, either about or by Norm Nelson, and we're trying to make it a memorable and meaningful representation of his ministry. We simply don't know yet which one will be completed in time to send you. Will you trust us with this? As you probably all know personally, deaths in the family throw everyone off kilter for a bit. Cher has just finished all the planning of the memorial service and the end-of-life details so that she can devote herself to this project. Please continue to correspond with us. It is important to us to hear from you. Please call our office at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, by the way, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Online, we're at CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.